Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Here's to good friends.
Cheers.
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 That's sort of an oaky afterbirth.
What was that?
She did tell me to get a beer and some cheese fries over at Eskimo Joe's.
That's very nice, lovely. I only hope you feel this way when I'm done. Because I could destroy this night in 2 seconds.
Why is that funny?
Well, I think it's a bit funny to be trying to define nothing.
Smooth as a bourbon on a summer day. Strong as a peated scotch in the winter night. This is a fair warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I guess we should do it. Like, a lot of times we say raise your glass and neither one of us raise our glass.
Most of the time.
Yes. So welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We have Juan Posada, the producer of the Catholic Man Show, here with us, joining us tonight. And we also have Jim Spencer, who has laughed already before we even started the show.
It's going to be a good episode.
It's going to be a good episode. He deeply chuckled.
At least it's going to be a funny episode.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see. Tonight, we're gonna sip on a whiskey from Compass Box. It is called The Peat Monster. I have high expectations. However,
I'm not sure. I have no expectations going into this because I'm not sure what to expect.
It's a blend. It's not a single malt. It's a blended malt whiskey.
That's their thing. Always blended.
And so it'll be interesting to try. I was trying to look up earlier and I actually didn't get a chance to look up like what the percentage of blends are of what they're blending together. Sometimes distilleries don't let you know.
Sometimes they don't tell you.
Right. I'm excited to try it. More on the Lord's. You know, it's getting cooler weather outside. Fall is now in the air. The leaves are slowly starting to change.
The Laphroaig bottle's calling to you.
Is that what it is? The Laphroaig bottle is calling to my name. Like I know you're not this way, but I'm a guy who I would much rather drink a peated scotch in the brisk coolness of the air than on a hot summer day.
Yeah, I get it.
Don't get me wrong. If you handed me a Laphroaig on a hot summer day, I would politely accept.
Yeah, I just think peated scotches are just better
in general.
So that's like, why would I want less better when I could have more better?
Listen, I'm a.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand. I'm a philosophy guy. I'm not a new natural law guy. I'm just a natural law philosophy guy.
Uh-huh.
I believe in a hierarchy of goods.
Right.
And in those goods, peated scotch is a little higher than...
It's higher than other scotches.
So, all right. Well, let's try it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. It's a very light color, almost like a light champagne or...
Yeah. Like a...
Gold, like a light golden color.
Maybe even like a vegetable oil.
Yeah, that's color. Probably. Yeah. A diluted vegetable oil.
Yeah. A very pure vegetable oil color. Oh, yeah. Jim's making a face.
You, on the nose, like, you definitely get the peat, like...
Hmm.
I get a little bit of blackberry.
It's not that peaty. It's kind of, it is kind of oily tasting. It's got an oily consistency, kind of. I would not call this a peat monster. It's not like crazy peaty, you know what I mean?
But it had, like, so at the beginning, it's more of a fruity, almost nutty taste. And then you get this, like, peat crescendo at the very end where it comes together.
Yeah. I was just expecting
to highlight.
I said I was going in without expectations. I realize now I did have some expectations. I was expecting a lot of peat.
You're thinking of Octomore.
Like no, Octomore. Not. I was thinking it wouldn't even be Laphroaig, and it's not. But I thought it would be, you know, like, whoa, okay, yeah, that's definitely got peat.
That's interesting. I almost get like at the front of the palate, it's almost like a blackberry jam. It's like this.
Do you see
wave
what I mean about, like,
of
the,
going in and out of sweetness to peat to sweetness to peat? I dig. I'm a fan of it. I think it's very good.
Me too.
I also do like it.
Very complex.
It's like, yeah, I really like this.
I do too. I was just, my initial reaction was, oh.
It's not as peaty.
That's not in your face peaty. It's definitely peaty.
Right.
You know, it is.
Especially at the end.
It's but like, I wouldn't call it a peat monster.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair.
I would say maybe a peat animal. but sort of like a tame animal.
So are you saying that a monster is a higher on the of the hierarchy than an animal?
Well, I think a monster is like more wild. More
hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, like more uncontrolled.
Okay. Hey, can I tell you something else though? I need to talk to you about this. I haven't even told you this since you aren't really on
to answer
on
your
Facebook.
Question. No.
Okay. So recently we had a
Wait,
council.
Is this it? Because I said no.
No, this is something else.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Recently we had a council man member who has been a supporter of our show for years. And by the way, shout out to, there are some guys out there who've been supporting our show for, you know, the 5 years that we've been on air.
Yeah.
And just consistently support us. And we're extremely grateful. One of them recently, his wife lost her job, and so he made it just a note out there on our Facebook page and said, like, hey guys, on our Council of Man page, said, hey, I just want to let you go how much, let you guys know how much I've enjoyed being a part of this. My wife has lost her job, so I'm gonna have to, we're cutting costs, and this is one of them, but you know, I still support you guys, love you guys, praying for you, you know, all this kind of stuff. I had another Council of Man member reach out to me and said, hey, I know that this guy's having a hard time, you know, kind of falling down on some luck. I would like to buy a yearly subscription for him on the Council of Man.
Mm.
And so he did.
That's awesome.
He bought, you know, he's buying a year membership for a brother, and he goes, I don't want him to know my name. I just want him to know that a brother is there for him when he needs it.
Awesome.
And so I let the guy.
What an act of charity, you know?
Right. And so I let the guy whose wife lost the job, let him know, like, hey, there's a guy that did this. And he said, you know, I got to tell you that I'm a little shocked, but I'm not that surprised, because those are the type of guys that kind of come around to our show.
Yeah.
Who, like, gather together this camaraderie, this friendship to take care of one another.
And it is social media, you know, like the Council of Man, you know, on mm-hmm. whether you're doing it, like, using Patreon or on the Facebook group or both. But there, it's not like regular social media, you know. Mm-hmm. There, you do develop a brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they live next door to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that's real. So it's been impressive to me how you can still have kind of good friendships with people you've never met.
Right. I mean, there's times that we've had council members become ill, like very ill, and people have donated dinners to their family. Don't know them, you know, don't know them, never met them personally,
yeah.
But donated meals to the family. There's this prayer request Excel sheet that we have, prayer list that we have every Friday that goes out. I mean,
yeah.
It's just like...
We fast on Fridays.
When we fast on Fridays, so we can be intentional while we fast. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I was just extremely impressed
mm-hmm.
With the virtue of of these men. And so,
and that's one of the things I love about the camp out is that you get the opportunity to meet some of these people.
Right.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
You're that guy, you know, I'm so glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to come to the camp out, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow because it is looking like if you're not a Patreon member, you probably won't get to come to the camp out. That,
I mean, that's just the reality.
Just, we can't make it any bigger.
Right. Juan, I think, just would beat us with a wet noodle until we just beg for mercy.
If I have a 4 feet spatula, I would not use a wet noodle.
Well, okay.
I would use my Mitchell 4 feet spatula.
Well, that's even worse. I would cave. Worse. I would cave quicker.
I would definitely rather take the noodle.
Right. Yeah, me too. So anyway.
The metal 4 foot spatula.
Yeah, me too. And then, Dave, we're also getting on the road again here pretty soon.
Yeah, a couple places.
A couple of different places. We're going to Texas in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Thaddeus and Dennis over at Red Sea Radio. I had Bishop Condorla do a little video.
You did that today?
Yeah, I did that today.
Nice.
Caught him really quick and had a chance to do that. So we're going to go down to support Catholic Radio down there in College Station and Waco. And then we're going up to Allentown, Pennsylvania in November, like here in, I don't know,
you
3 weeks. We should buy our tickets.
Have you ever been to Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to Allentown even.
Oh, have you? Oh, yeah, because you used to go there for work stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm excited to get a chance to like get out and about again, see other men. We have several Council of Man members who are going to be there, so that'll be awesome.
And just one thing for people to keep in their prayers, the diocese, well, the state of Oklahoma, we are applying for all kinds of different new radio stations across the state. And also, honestly, I suspect that this is happening all across every state, that Catholic radio is about to take a big expand a lot, because the FCC has opened up a window for non-commercial stations to apply for new frequencies. So this is like it's a big week for Catholic radio across the country.
Right.
So keep the Oklahoma Catholic Radio in your prayers, and your local Catholic radio station, you know, like
if you want the Catholic Mansion to play on your local Catholic radio station.
Yeah, you could call them.
You can call them and ask, and maybe they'll do it. We're possibly about to go live in Indianapolis, Indiana, with the Catholic radio over there.
Right on.
So we're on 17 different Catholic radio stations currently. We'd love to keep expanding. So we're going to skip a man gear. We're going to go right into the topic because we're going to talk about rules of life and not Jordan Peterson's.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
So we got a lot to do. We'll be right back. I want to give a big shout out to Jonathan Conrad over at the Catholic Rule Worker. Jonathan started his ministry with one sole purpose in mind, and that was get quality crafted rosaries into Catholics' hands. And he's been doing it now so well that he has opened up a storefront. He has a brick and mortar store. If you go to CatholicWoodworker.com, you can check out the whole facility. We're really proud of you, Jonathan. I remember when you first started this whole thing. We're thankful for your friendship. We're thankful for your willingness to support the Catholic Man Show. If you guys go to CatholicWoodworker.com, use the promo code TCMS, you get 10% off all of your purchases. We just want to thank you, Jonathan, for your love of our mother and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the good work you're doing to grow his kingdom. Cheers.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about rules of life. Do you want to mention the leather thing in front of you?
Yes, I do. To be talking about rules of life. We're not talking about it yet.
Thank you. Correct.
That is
true.
Okay. So we're going to have an episode where we highlight leather work. I'm kind of a sucker for different types of leather work, you know, especially when it involves a travel bag for your pipe or something like that. I just like a good leather vessel to carry your stuff.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. So, but I did want to mention this. Our topic is very long.
The downside
today
to that kind of thing is that it's very expensive.
Exactly. It is.
If what you get is worth worth having. Worth it. You know, yeah. It's super expensive.
But I did want to highlight this because he made this for us not too long
ago. Red Tractor
Leather Company. Go check them out on Instagram. You can go give them a follow. But he made this for me for my Remarkable 2. We did an episode on the Remarkable 2.
Yeah.
And so he generously made this by hand for the Remarkable 2. And then he also made our new coasters. And he made two wallets for us. So anyway, I wanted to highlight that because he's given that to us, and that was before I had COVID. You had COVID, and so it's been a while.
Yeah.
But so I want to make sure that people know about it. Go check out Red Tractor Leather Company, and we'll highlight his stuff.
Where is he
stuff.
From? Where are they from?
Oh man, I wish you wouldn't have asked me that because I'm okay. Not positive.
So it's not Oklahoma.
It's not Oklahoma, but it's a good Catholic guy.
Nebraska.
Nebraska. Thank you, Jim.
Nebraska.
He's a good Catholic man. I think he has 8 children.
You know, they have wolves in Nebraska.
I did know this. Big wolves.
Gray wolves.
Gray wolves, yeah. That'll jump out in front of your van as you go.
They're like kamikaze gray wolves.
Yeah, they don't care at all.
No.
So anyway, I just wanted to reach out to go check them out. If you have Instagram, go look up Red Tractor Leather Company. But tonight, we're going to be talking about rules of life, not... From Jordan B. Peterson.
Jordan Peterson's Rules of Life.
Right.
Although I do think you should make your bed every day.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this.
Yeah. I could see. I mean,
I'm not a guy against order. I understand the like, starting off. I understand the concept. I understand it. But it's like, no, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going
to
get into that.
You know what I don't think you should have to do is put pillows on it.
That's what I was about to get into. How about 50 pillows? We have 50 pillows. Do you have to put all of them back on?
Look, when I got married, I headed off this whole pillow nonsense. And I said, when we were registering, and Lady Pamela,
mm-hmm.
her ladyship,
mm-hmm.
wanted to sign up for some...
Her ladyship?
For some throw pillows. And I said, look... I will allow throw pillows in my house, but it needs to be known, I won't use them. I won't move them. I'm not putting them back on the bed. If you want throw pillows, you can have throw pillows. This guy over here, he doesn't have throw pillows.
Sounds selfish.
It's nonsense.
Well, I don't want to get into the pillow.
Every single day.
I know. And think about the amount of time that it takes you to do that and what you could be doing instead. Is it the greatest good?
Like, that's not even what I care about. It's just I'm not doing it. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Just pull the covers back up over the top and you're done. You got a nice made bed.
Boom. Okay. So this actually, believe it or not, is a good segue into the actual topic. So we're going to talk about rules of life. This is something
Have you ever ridden on a Segway?
No. I never have.
Actually, it's very fun. Look like a total idiot.
Right,
you do. You look so pretentious, especially if you have a helmet on.
It's almost impossible to look cool on a Segway, in my opinion.
So, in Michigan a couple years ago, we did rent some that had like off-roading tires on them, and that we were using to like...
Did you wear elbow pads?
No, but honestly... We should have, because every single one of us wiped out hard, okay? Because we started to get cocky, started to get confident. They go about 12, 13 miles an hour, which
damage.
Is really pretty fast,
right,
okay? And so we're like weaving down through these trails, you know, which is so much fun. And then you catch the side of a tree. You know what happens? You go flying. Or you drive really fast through a sandy area and... you lose traction and the thing freaks out trying to like maintain balance
and then throws
and
you
it wipes
you
out. Right. So literally every single one of us had like suffered injuries, but it was so sweet. There was one time I came across a small tree in the path in front of me.
I cannot believe we're still talking about this.
And I was able to ease up to it and like lean forward and the thing totally climbed over the tree and kept and like, it was a small tree.
You went off-roading on a Segway.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The whole story is about that.
Nice. Okay. Can we keep going?
Yeah. I just wanted to... Segue about my segue.
Nice. Okay. So recently we had an episode on a portion of the Intro to Devout Life by Sam Francis de Sales. He also wrote a book called The Secret of Sanctity, and we're going to let you in on a little bit of
the secret.
Secret.
Yeah.
Now this is only a
part. Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
Because it's a secret.
It's a secret. But the
secret
of sanctity. So it's a small work. Doesn't take long to read. It's a great book. So here's what he says. Now, I think we should preface, Dave, I sent this over to you, let you look at it. I think we should preface that in today's world, some of our vocations do not allow us to be able to do the things that he thinks that you should be able to do.
So who is he writing to in this book? Because, you know, in the last book, in Intro to the Vout Life, he's writing to a lay woman.
Uh-huh. I think that he is...
Do you know? I mean, if you don't know, that's okay.
I did.
Honestly, I am not familiar with this book.
Yeah, I did.
And so that's why I'm even having to ask the question.
We'll let Juan, will you look that up for me, bud? Okay, good. So we'll let Juan...
Because that... Honestly, that's...
I've read three intros this week of new books, and
yeah,
so I don't want to say...
But the reason I ask is because it's important context. You know, when he's giving these secrets for sanctity.
Okay, so can we go to one?
Sure.
Let's throw the first one up. And we've kind of talked about this before on the show, but it's good that it's cool to see saints repeatedly saying this is what you should be doing if you're wanting to grow in holiness. And you compare the list and they're like, well, one and one is the same. Two and two is the same. Yeah. You know,
I like it when I can say, told you so.
Told you so.
See?
Right. So the very first one he says is have a fixed hour of rising. So wake up at a consistent hour. He said he gives that 7 to 8 hours of sleep are usually sufficient. And I really liked the quote that he puts in there. He says, beware of beginning your day by sacrificing to sloth hours every moment of which may avail you for eternity.
Who needs more than 8 hours of sleep?
I do.
You 8 hours is not enough for you?
Sometimes, yeah. I would love to, like, yeah.
I mean, like, if I go several days on, like, 4 hours... Then yeah, I'll sleep for 10.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like a lot, there are times where.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like every day a person gets eight.
Oh, if I get 8 hours, and I'm good.
Right, yeah. And
people. But I rarely even get eight.
But who's like? I don't know.
So
to me, I think it should be like 6 to 7 hours is sufficient.
Right.
But I want to
focus on the next thing he says, which is what I said, which is what I was talking about, is like, don't sacrifice to sloth out hours that you could be basically growing and preparing for yourself for the next life.
That's the important part.
That's the important part, right? And so, and the first thing he says is like, make the first thing you think about God when you wake up,
mm-hmm.
which I think is just key. Like, I think that's a great way to start your day.
Right.
Thinking, obviously, about our Lord.
Yeah, you should pray first. I like how he doesn't say get up early. Some people will say, like, rise real early. And I think for the average person, that is good advice. You know, if you have a somewhat normal schedule, you know, if you have an 8, 9 to 5, nobody has a 9 to 5. If you have a 9 to 5, you technically do, don't
I mean,
you? You technically do. Not, you come yep. in at 9, technically.
Right.
But
now,
not really.
Now, on paper, how many times have I gotten in?
Well, on paper, it's 9 to 5, but not in reality.
Not in reality.
Right.
Yeah. If you're marking down, keeping track.
But so if you have an 8 to 5, which is what I think most people have, you know, you can get up early. You can kind of make that schedule fit. Some people, you know, like if you work at a hospital, you might be having all kinds of different crazy schedules. So, you know, but having a fixed time to get up, mm-hmm. you know, like when you have a schedule.
It's all about order, right? I mean, right. This is the whole purpose of like the intention of having a discipline to where you're doing it every single day. You're starting out in order. You're starting your day out in order. And then starting your day out, obviously thinking about Christ, thanking him for another day.
I have
the
found...
The Lord had seen it fit to give you at least one more day
mm-hmm.
to glorify him and grow his kingdom.
Could be your last. But I have found that even if... So I have fallen into this trap of like, oh, I'm going to bed real late. So I'm just going to get up later because I need to get at least 6 hours or 7 hours of sleep, you know, and I'll just pray then.
But then there's no consequences to your actions.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't work as well because...
But there's no...
Other people are awake now. Like,
well, at least
I'm
for me,
and,
if I don't do that, then there's no consequences to my actions of staying up late. So it doesn't... I don't regret staying up late. If I get up early and I'm it's more of a sacrifice to get up, then I'm like, I will double think. You know, I'll think twice before...
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, too.
Before I stay up late again. Like, the other night, we were going to record this show... a day earlier, and I couldn't do it because I had to get up to do my book club that next morning. I knew if we did the show at night and I had to get up for my book club in the morning,
yeah,
it just would not yield a good book club.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's true. But also, I found that if you go to bed and late and you get up early knowing my prayer is just not going to be good, it still is better than sleeping in and hoping that, oh, with more sleep, I'll be able to pray better. You know, it's better just to get up early and kind of stumble your way through prayer. It's hard to explain why it is better, but it just is, you know, like... That's God's hour. Don't sleep through it.
Right.
You decided. Keep it His.
Yeah. So the next one, I'll just throw this out there and then we'll catch it on the other side of the break. But the next one, he obviously, one of the things he says is give as much time as possible into prayer. But then he quotes, this is what I love about it, like some of the things are like very obvious. And then he kind of caveats it with a unique aspect, a unique angle. He says, let your heart take much more part of the holy exercise than your mind. Which also piggybacks off of another episode we just did recently. Yeah. So
we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're talking about rules of life according to St. Francis de Sales. Sometimes I like to say, I throw in the law because I basically speak Spanish. It's like Francis de la Sales.
Like, that's a totally different guy.
But no, that's St. John Baptist de la Sale.
Yeah, de la Sale. Sale. Yeah, de la Sale. De la Sale. De la Sale.
De la Sale. But my Spanish just kind of creeps in sometimes.
Right.
But it's just Francis de Sales.
De Sales, right.
Right. Patron saint of a good deal.
Of sales.
Right. Patron saint of clearance items.
Yeah.
So we were talking about like what do you, you know, the first one was like making sure you're getting up at a regular normal time. The second one is giving you as much time as you can possibly to prayer. But then he caveats it by saying or like kind of expounding. On it, saying like let your heart take much more part in this holy exercise than your mind. And this is something that you and I have talked about. We talked about in a recent episode that I was struggling with and I continue to struggle with.
You and every other living person who prays.
Right. So, like, you know, you have your ritual prayers. You have your set prayers that you say, the St. Michael prayer, the act of contrition, maybe the litany to the Sacred Heart. I mean, whatever it is your... Yeah.
Whatever your jam is.
Whatever your jam is. And a lot of times, you know, you just start going through it. It's muscle memory. You start just kind of repeating it over and kind of forget that you're actually praying. And so, like, that's what the important part of this whole contemplative life, you know, getting into the state, you know, this meditative state, this contemplative state that grows you in the spiritual life, right? You know, vocal prayer is the launching point into meditative prayer, which launches you into contemplative prayer, which is how you start actually growing
right.
quickly in the spiritual
life. It's
really
hard to bilocate without contemplatio.
Yes. Yes. I could imagine that.
Yeah.
It's probably even harder to trilocate.
I mean, don't even think
it's
about
not
it.
Even, it's not even possible.
Not even conceivable.
So I like how he, because every saint's going to say, you know, every good Catholic is going to say, try to orient yourself to pray as much as you can throughout the day, mm-hmm. right? You know, St. Paul talks about pray without ceasing. We're constantly trying our best to orient ourselves back towards our Creator.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And so, like, what works for me, and maybe I think this would work for other people, when I'm having this, I realize I'm just totally. Repetition. I'm hardly conscious that I'm even saying these prayers. You know what I mean? Slow down. That's it. One simple thing. Slow down. Because when you slow down, now all of a sudden it's not your muscle memory. You're breaking the way that your muscles always mm-hmm. do it. And so, like, and you have to just say, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to slow down. And I'm just going to let myself pray slowly. I'm not going to worry about, like, if I am going to run out of time. If I run out of time, just stop praying. Wherever you are, and you're, if you don't finish, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Like, if you don't finish the rosary, but you prayed the rosary for 20 minutes, that's great. Because it's better to spend those 20 minutes in good prayer than it is to finish a rosary, whatever that means. You
what
know,
about 13 rosaries?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I pray 13 a day.
No,
I mean, but
don't.
You yeah. could. I mean, if you have time, that's kind of what this is saying. Spend as right. much time as you can in prayer.
Right.
But make it real prayer.
Right.
You know, it's
within your heart. You know, yeah. The relationship, like grow in relationship and love of Christ. You know, you are the way you love Christ is unique.
Only you can do it.
And so to grow that love in Christ is so unique that no one else can do it that way. And so it's such a unique relationship that you can have with Christ by growing that relationship.
It's a kind of a catch-22, I think, because on the one hand, you want to pray well, but also there's like a risk of like a Pelagianist mentality coming in that like I am the one who's I'm going to work hard to pray well and my prayer is good. Like, oh, I had a good, satisfying prayer because I worked so hard at it.
I feel good about it.
Right, exactly. Like, right. So there also needs to be this attitude of rest in prayer where, like, I'm just here to rest and, like, just to receive. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting in because you're not really in right. prayer. You're just receiving. And so, like, you have to have both of those things for it to be great, you know?
Totally. I agree. Okay, so number three is, and I like how he says this, do not voluntarily deprive yourself, even for a day, of the inestimable happiness of assisting at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Unite yourself to our Lord by means of spiritual communion if you can't get to Mass.
Right.
And that's something that I think, you know, through COVID-19 and all the things that we've experienced, opened my eyes because I started thinking, you know what? My children could unite themselves in spiritual communion even if they're not of age to receive Holy Communion.
Right.
You know, and I haven't, I still to this day have not taught them mm-hmm. that spiritual communion prayer, but it's come to my attention not too long ago thinking about like, I should teach them that prayer. I mean, that would be extremely efficacious. We're talking about kids who haven't, you know, committed a mortal sin yet, you know, sure. and they could unite themselves to receive the divine graces that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass offers.
You could pray that prayer even if you were in mortal sin. You know, I mean, you can pray a
sure.
spiritual
I mean,
communion
you could
prayer.
You could
I mean,
pray it.
He's going to come to you in as much as you are disposed to receive him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you could be contrite. You haven't gone to confession yet. You know, look, Jesus is going to make it work. He'll fill in the blanks.
Not that mortal sin is not a grave matter.
No, it is, and you're still not in a state of grace.
It's a choice to separate yourself from our Lord, and the punishment for that is hell.
Yeah,
that is what the church teaches
forever.
Right. So not to take that lightly. Okay. So number four is I give a certain time each day to reading a good book. And I actually like how he said he doesn't actually even say a spiritual book.
Right. Just a good book.
But a good book. And he says that this is a sort of easy meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you struggle with meditative prayer, a lot of times, like we've talked about this on the show before, like the Diary of St. Faustina or The Interior Castles by St. Teresa of Avila or Intro to Devout Life by St. Francis
of
Sales.
Or like, The Lord of the Rings.
Or the, I don't know, maybe. I can't comment on that.
Yeah.
But read a book that allows you to contemplate the higher things in life. You know, the things that will draw you closer to our Lord.
Yep.
And that's something I think that a lot of people, I would bet, struggle with. I think a lot of men, in particular, because we are incredibly busy, don't set aside time to read.
Well, the only time I do is when I'm doing something else.
Because you're not audiobook.
I'm reading.
But no, because you on Sundays you read
sometimes
The Lord of the Rings.
I haven't had
and in adoration sometimes you do.
Yeah.
So you read books.
Yeah, but not very much. I mean, like put those together. Like how much I read in adoration and on Sundays, it's like a few pages a week. Total.
But you're still setting aside time.
Yeah, but not every day.
So, but not every day. But again, these are to be, you know, not imitated, but what do we say? What did Father Nesbitt say? To be revered, but not... Or
I think it was just admired, but
admired,
not imitated.
But not imitated. Okay, so the next one is say your rosary every day. This is the easiest and frequently the most fruitful of all meditations. So obviously, we're talking about in the prayer life, growing in prayer, vocal prayer, meditative prayer, contemplative prayer.
This has got to be high on your priority list.
This needs to be high on your priority list.
And it's not. For a lot of people, even if you want it to be, the truth is it's just not. Like, admit that to yourself. If you're not praying a rosary very often, just admit it. It's not very high on my priority list. And so that's okay. You're going to do it anyway. Don't pretend like it's high on your priority list if it isn't. That's not going to help you get any better. You just need to admit, like, hey, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Okay? Like, I have a long way to go. Right. And the truth is, Jesus, praying the rosary is not very important to me. I need you to help make it more important.
I desire for it to be more important.
I want it to be important. And it's just not. And please fix that in me,
Right. I mean, a lot of times, that's the same way with going to Mass at times, right? Like,
sure.
You were talking about the other day how you were wanting to go to daily Mass more often. And sometimes, Mass isn't, you don't get all the feels.
It's not what I want to do right now.
Right.
Got to leave the house.
Right.
Put on pants.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, because I put on pants every day.
I work from home.
Yeah.
It's great.
But you have to ask whenever you, are coming to this understanding of like, oh, maybe the rosary isn't a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that it becomes your priority.
Like, you know what? There's a lot of things that we do every day that are not priorities for me, but, I do them anyway, that the rosary 's got to be one of those things, and it will slowly, that will slowly change.
Yeah. The next one is make a daily visit, if possible, to the Blessed Sacrament. So adoration. It's amazing how when you start talking about these deep spiritual saints, I mean, one of the keys for them, I haven't found one that doesn't say this, is adoration.
Yeah. You know that episode of The Office where they're talking about like, hey, here's every 15 minutes or so, get up and take a break, stretch your legs.
Right.
And then about once every 15 minutes, just get up and give your hands a break. Maybe walk, go get a drink of water. And Michael Scott's like, that's like 45 minutes every hour.
Right. Of not working.
Do them all at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
That's what you got to do here. Like, oh, I'm supposed to go to Mass and then go visit the Blessed Sacrament every day. Like, well, you know what? You can do those at the same time.
Right. No,
it's just about being intentional. Like, I'm here for Mass and to talk to Jesus,
Right, yeah. It doesn't have to be an hour. That's that I have to break myself up. Get to adoration,
3 minutes.
It needs to be an hour. But it doesn't.
Sometimes I'll step in the chapel for, 3 minutes, stand at the back, literally just, look at him for a couple minutes, and then leave.
And then bounce.
Because, I have, other things to do, but, I'm walking right by the chapel. I'm not going to pop in and say,
right. I got a chapel at my office.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We are doing it, and doing it well. Isn't that the song? That's a song, right?
I have no idea.
I could be making it up.
Yeah, I feel like
I was under the impression that that was a song, and who knows? If it's not, it should be.
I don't think anybody knows.
Sounds like a good, a cool song. Like, wow, Dave, that was a cool song you just made up right there. That's what people are thinking.
I have to take your word on it.
Adam, trust me.
Okay. Okay, so anything else that you want to talk about regarding adoration before we go to the next one?
You should have an adoration hour.
Once a week.
Once a week. I mean,
start there.
My opinion is if you don't have a weekly adoration hour, you are not serious about growing in holiness. That's the bottom line. That, like, you don't really care that much. You can't even commit 1 hour. And I know right now, like, coming up with all these excuses. Oh, my schedule changes, blah, 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 blah. Okay. It's like, get over it. Sign up. And then when your schedule changes, you just say, like, look, I'm sorry, I have a conflict. Or do it at a point where your schedule never, like, 3 a.m.? I'll bet you don't have much schedule.
I do have a conflict.
At 3 a.m.
I do. It's very important. Sleeping.
Right. So it's like, make it work, okay? Because we're talking about Jesus here. That's all I got to say about that.
I love it. Love where your head's at.
Thank you.
All right, let's keep going. The life of a Christian should be a continual exercise of penance. Mortify yourself in common and ordinary things. Again, something we've talked about recently, that because Father Maury was telling that to us at Clear Creek Abbey. He's a Clear Creek monk at the camp out. He was talking to us about this.
This next example, this is like...
It's a killer.
It gets me.
Yeah. So he lists a couple of examples. He actually lists a lot of examples. Over, I think, 12. But I wrote down 10. We won't go through all of them. But
let me see 9.
Okay.
I'm sorry. There's 10.
There it is. The first one, I think, is crazy. It says, resist your inclination to do something which is useless.
See, like, I don't even know. How do I know whether it's useless or not?
Well, what's the end?
I don't know.
It doesn't mean
just because I like.
Listen, you gotta know, if you know what the end is, then you can reverse engineer and figure out if it's useless or not.
But the thing is, like, a lot of holy things are useless.
No.
Yeah, like leisure in general. It depends on what you mean, but like
by useless, right?
It's
yeah,
useless.
Right.
The mass itself, useless. From a like natural standpoint. You know what I mean?
It's waste. Yeah, it's the whole wasting.
I mean, that's
time.
Like what makes it beautiful is that
it's for itself.
Right. Exactly. So depends on
the vocab.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think what he's That's not what he's saying. But like for our day and age, it is the video games, possibly the video games or the social media or the even maybe the I have my own time.
Or television.
Television,
like,
yeah.
Just to be entertained, you know, like, there's not something I want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be entertained, you know.
Right.
Like, it's totally unintentional consumerism of just...
Consumption, yeah. Right. We gotta talk about this next one because it's important. He says, keep careful guard of your eyes.
This is something that I've, like... This has been on my heart a lot lately.
Keep careful guard of your eyes. Now, we obviously understand that, you know, pornography is just rampant in this day and age, and that it's some of the highest visited websites and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And it doesn't start out that way, right? It's a snowball effect. You know, you start looking at one thing, then it leads to another thing, it leads to another thing, and all of a sudden, you know, you could possibly be doing that.
Yeah, but it comes down to, like, the movies you watch, too.
Right.
The stuff you think that, like... Oh, I'm an adult, okay?
I can handle this.
I can handle this. It's like, well, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Are you sure that you're not deadening your senses? Are you sure that you're not slowly chipping away at your innocence? Which a full-grown man should be innocent. He should have a purity and an innocence. A real man, you know, who's not a slave to sin. If you think like, oh, I'm not like a kid, I'm a man, you know, I know, you know what, blah, blah, blah. Then you're just enslaving yourself to whatever form of macho-ness that you've conceived in your own head as like, what's good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of guys who are striving for virtue, and they have these deep rooted vices in them, you know, and I think we've said this before on the show, but it's worth saying again, to pray for the grace of forgetfulness, specifically to our mother. You know, if you ask, you know, that she for the grace of forgetfulness.
Yeah. And I'm only speaking to those guys that you mentioned, the ones who are striving for holiness.
Right.
It's like, I even if it's like that is a challenge for them, you know, like, oh wow, what I just said, well, that's okay. Like, let it challenge you and strive for more. I'm not speaking to the guys who don't care. I mean, like, because they're going to do whatever they want, you know, and they're not going to try to be better. But those who do, who want to be better, you know, it's hard. Yeah. But grind it out.
Yeah. Rely, trust in God's grace. He gives a lot of other examples, and we could actually honestly...
Speak little with moderation. That is really also really hard to do. It's on here. Exactly. It's hard for me, I'll tell you.
We could actually do a whole show on just this aspect. One point we could do a whole show on, especially with the examples that he gives, because they're really good. But this is what you call in the biz a teaser. I'm doing this so that way you buy this book and read it.
The book.
The book.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were being, like, facetious.
No.
Like we were writing a book.
No. Oh, well, we are writing.
But not about this.
We are writing
What's the book called again? The Secret of...
The Secret of Sanctity.
Of Sanctity by St. Francis de Sales.
Yeah, not De La Sales.
Not De La Salle.
Right. Okay, so the next one is devote yourself to your labor as well as the fulfillment of all your duties energetically and with a pure intention to please God and to make yourself useful to your neighbor. This is one that every man can do. This is not one. It doesn't matter how your day looks. It doesn't matter about your vocation. It doesn't matter about the amount of things and the amount of people that rely on you. You know the guys who walk into work and they are smiling. They're energetic. They're excited to be there. You know, they look you in the eyes when they're talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, and what does it do? It develops this culture within your office of uplifting, of getting going. Like it just is better. It's a better.
I also think that this one is hard. No matter how holy you get, I think that this will still be hard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it will.
I mean, some things you get over and they're just not hard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that
because
this
they're not
one,
temptations.
This one will always be hard because as you get holier, you realize like, oh, I need to go further and further with the same thing. You know, like you can never.
It's endless.
As you get holier, you realize, oh, I should be dedicating myself even more. Not like I should be working harder, right, but I should be putting more of my passion into it. You know, like.
Yeah. And this goes back to the whole what you fail to do at your final judgment. Right. You know, the sins that you've done, the things that you have failed to do.
Yeah.
And it ties into the things that you do that are useless, you know, that you waste your time with. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not if you're taking time to do useless things, you are not devoting your time to what God has put in front of you to achieve for that day.
I agree.
So that's a tough one.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, one thing I love about working at the diocese here in Tulsa is that everybody in the chancery, and this is bar none, everybody in the chancery that I work with, all, you know, you walk down that hallway, everybody is excited to be there and they want to work because we're all on the same page. And I've worked in other places that's not the case.
Sure.
And it's the work-life culture is a slow moving thing, but if you are the one that starts it, it's contagious.
When you have a good boss,
it's contagious.
It makes the whole office better.
No doubt.
I want to get to number 14. I think it's 14.
Where are we right now?
We just said number eight.
Okay. Go.
No, well, number 11. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'll let you go.
Well, we can keep going.
Okay, number 9. Let no meal pass without offering a slight mortification to your Savior.
See, I didn't know Francis de Sales said that. I think of that as St. Jose Maria Escrivá,
because
he talks about that, you know, a meal without a mortification.
I also have found that
a lot
of saints,
they rip each other off.
It's like
saintly plagiarism.
Yeah.
I guess you're allowed to do it when it's like about Jesus.
Right. And we've talked about that on the episode before. You can go back and listen. So number 10, it kind of actually
goes with number one.
Right. Because it talks about go to bed as far as possible at a fixed hour.
And this is more important than number one. If you go to bed at a fixed hour, it's easy. Of course, you're going to get up at a fixed hour. I mean, like, you're going to get up at the same time if you're going to bed at the same time. Yep. But going to bed, that's the hard part. It's not getting up.
Right. I'm not a food guy. For the most part.
Uh-huh.
So fasting for me is actually not a huge sacrifice.
Yeah.
But if you told me, I want you to make sure to go to bed at 9.
Yeah.
That is a big that would be a huge sacrifice for me.
I don't need to do that because I don't need that much sleep. But
right.
That would be, that's so much harder. Getting up in the morning sucks a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But going to bed on time is actually way harder.
Okay, now we're at 11. Go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Okay, so this one is like, wow. It says, go to confession at least every 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. It's like, wow.
I mean, when I was trying to root out some heavy mortal sins in my life, you know, when I was starting to take my faith seriously, I was trying to go to confession every week. And it was because not only was I falling, but because
if you're sinning, I mean, if you have reason to go, forget it. You mean you go as often as you need.
Right. Yeah.
I try to go every month, and that is working okay. You know, like, I'm not going to discourage. I don't want to discourage anyone from going to confession more often. Right.
Right.
At some point, like, there's a point where you shouldn't be going to confession. Like, you don't need to go every day. I mean, unless you have mortal sin, you know, go every day. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, if you're living a holy life, if you're in a state of grace, you know, you don't want to be,
every week.
Every week, yeah, but not every day. You don't want to be scrupulous about it. So we'll keep going. I think we're almost to the end.
So if you're listening to the on radio, go to check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. You can find this full episode and all of our other full episodes. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Yeah, I thought,
every 14 days, man, that would be tough.
Okay, so I actually had a train.
Huh? That's what I do. You go every 14
days? Every 14 days, Juan? That
the
is
one,
impressive.
But you need it. I mean, like, that doesn't even surprise me.
Oh, man.
Well played.
I wanted to read, actually, because I had to look it up. So it says, go to confession at least every fortnight.
That's 2 weeks.
And that's 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks.
But I was like, I don't know what Fortnite means.
And that's a video game, right?
That's a video game.
So after you play Fortnite, go to confession.
Every time you play Fortnite, you go to confession.
That could be like 5 times. That could be like 5 times a day.
It could be.
See, now I disagree. Now all of a sudden I'm disagreeing. Unless, of course, you commit that many mortal sins every day. But if that's what you're doing, like,
he also said,
you need an intervention.
So in that, he says, give more care to exciting yourself to sincere contrition for your faults than to enumerate them with great accuracy.
I do think that, honestly, for most people, it would probably be better to err on the side of scrupulosity. You know, unless you are a scrupulous person. Mm-hmm. For the scrupulous person, like, if you've been spiritually diagnosed with scruples, I got the scruples, man. Then, okay, you,
seems like
there are different rules for you.
I don't know
you.
Why, but it seems like aloe vera would take care of that.
Yeah, or Melaleuca.
I don't know what Melaleuca
is. You don't remember Melaleuca? It's like late 80s, early 90s. Like, it was a, you know, they used to call it a pyramid scheme. Now they call it multi-level. Oh, it's multi-level marketing.
Right.
Yeah, they used to call that a scam.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a valid business model, okay? Look at Mary Kay. I get it.
Pink Cadillacs.
I get it. Advocare people. But so it was like a plant substance that, Adam, it cured everything.
I dig.
I mean, you got cancer? Oh, it'll definitely cure cancer.
I have a family member who thinks that tea tree oil will basically solve every problem.
I think it's a cousin of Melaleuca, actually, that they were like, they had like parents that
distant
were
relatives.
Yeah, like siblings or something.
Maybe so.
But because I have heard that. And Windex, obviously.
Don't consume that.
No, I mean, you just spray it on stuff. Like, it's great for your eyes.
It's from the Big Fat Wedding.
It's really great for your eyesight.
Greek Fat Wedding?
My big Fat Greek Wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dad, he sprays Windex
on
everything.
Juan. That was a good, like, culture reference. And that movie was from a long time ago.
You know what I like to do? It's like, whenever there's a movie that's kind of like that, like, that wasn't a manly movie. A man shouldn't really know, like, but it's not exactly like a chick flick. I always say, was that the pants movie? That was the pants movie.
With the traveling
And just
ones.
Assume that, just like pretend like all those references. That was the pants movie. I never saw that one.
Yeah. All right. Can we keep going?
Sure.
I feel like we should keep going. The next one is receive communion as frequently as possible.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Once a day.
That'd be awesome. And the next one is in your relations to the members of your family and those about you to be full of consideration, kindness, and devotion, endeavor to make piety loved through you. Man, that is a weird sentence. Avoid with the greatest care of the spirit of criticism and those little jealous, petty weaknesses and caprices which many vainly seek to reconcile with true piety. That was a tough sentence.
That was a weird sentence.
Can I see that book?
Yeah. I'd love for
it's
you.
Weird that he threw in that thing about the salad, too.
Caprices.
And that's a salad, right? It's caprice.
Caprice.
Caprice salad.
I think it's actually a
caprese.
Juice. A fruit. A fruit juice.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Caprice.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a pant.
That's the pants movie.
Yeah, that's the pants movie. But no, I think this one is also very tough because how many times do you get together with other people and it just feels kind of good to just like moan.
So this is number 13. Like this is one of those things that's definitely true. Like if you're trying to pursue holiness, you have to do this. But it's also something that you will be incapable of doing if you don't have like a baseline of work already done. Like if you have not achieved certain like levels of virtue, mm-hmm. this is going to be impossible to even attempt. You know, like, oh, make sure that everything you do is super awesome and that through you people are coming to love piety. You know, like that's you need like some habits to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
So like the worst you get is like not that bad. You know, I'm not saying don't try it. I'm just saying that this is a upperclassman sort of thing right here.
I think. And I think the stair-stepping to it, you know, in order to get to it, is you have to take...
That's why it's at the end, towards the end of the list also, I think.
Right. But I think you have to take the physical pious acts that seem maybe superfluous or maybe seem a little like, I don't have to do it that way. If you embrace these little pious acts...
Uh-huh.
It grows in you, and the virtue of piety grows in you to where when you start talking about having docility towards your father or your mother or having docility towards your priest, these things become more natural to you, become a second nature to you.
Right. You just kind of do them without thinking about it. That's right. Really...
Which is where you want to be. Like, in the virtuous life, that's where you want to be.
Sure. All of these things... being full of consideration, kindness, and devotion, endeavor to make piety loved through you, avoiding criticism, jealousness. You know, this all comes down to humility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of these things.
No doubt.
Like, how do you do it? Focus on humility. Like, when you're criticized, don't defend yourself, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, allow yourself to be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And then these things will come more naturally, I think.
I agree.
Number 14.
When you go out into the world, avoid with equal care unseemly humor and repellent austerity.
What is repellent austerity?
Well, austerity is...
austerity is like lack of stuff.
Well, it's like... almost like a negative aspect, or like you're kind of moaning. You're just
necessarily.
You have a negative attitude. I mean, like,
I don't think that. To me, that's not what austerity means.
Austerity.
To me, austerity
Sternness
is like
severity of manner or attitude.
Yeah. Okay. So you're taking things too seriously. Like you're on the other end. So you're not frivolous, but you're austere, right? So you're taking things too seriously.
Okay. I just think of it as like meager, like. If you refer to like things as being austere, it's like bare bones, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's another. Is there's also extreme plainness and simplicity of style or appearance.
That's what I think of when I think of austere. So, but I think it's probably the first one. Like,
right. So.
Having a bad
attitude.
This is
the whole idea of just living having a virtuous mind frame, right? Because don't go be seeking unseemly humor, don't be too frivolous, but also don't be too severe, don't be too serious. You know, mm-hmm. it's this happy it's this understanding of the medium.
This is something that was really hard for me. Like when we got out of college, we both started taking our faith more seriously, and I've always
me more so than you,
sure. Because you know, and like humor has always been something I've prided myself on. You know, like the ability to make people laugh is something I enjoy. And it, like I've, it's been a part of me my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was a, like, a, it was a real struggle and a sacrifice. It, I thought it was going to be a sacrifice. It turns out it wasn't. But I thought I was just going to have to choose not to be funny anymore. Like, because my humor wasn't always, like, clean. So I wasn't making fun of people. I wasn't hurting people, you know, so I thought. And but it wasn't always on the cleanest of topics. And I was, like, realizing, you know, I shouldn't be making those jokes. But it was hard for me to let it go because what am I? I'm just not going to be funny anymore, you know? Right. Turns out I'm hilarious still. I'm still hilarious.
Turns out. After all of that,
against all odds, I still actually have funny things to say.
The odds are actually in your favor. You just had to come to the realization.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Turns out, Adam, you're right. The odds are typically in my favor, which I like.
Follow me on Twitter for other great tidbits. Yeah. So the next one I also really like, and I think that is very appropriate for
this one. I thought was interesting
today's age. So
I had never heard this like before. Like,
yes, you have.
Wait, which one are you reading?
15.
Oh, I'm reading ahead. Sorry.
Okay, 15. Be inflexible in regard to dangerous books and plays.
Plays.
Plays. No one will go see plays.
Oh, I refuse to see that opera.
Yeah.
They use an Italian word that I don't like.
So it says, let even innocent pleasures be moderate and banish evil pleasures.
This is one of my guilty pleasures. This is one of my pet peeves when people say, like, it's my guilty pleasure, as if, like, that makes it okay. You know, like, I don't. It's like, if you're saying out loud, oh, this is my guilty pleasure, well, you should stop that.
Right.
Like,
words have meaning. Language is used to transfer the truth. When you are when you are saying, what you say has meaning. And by saying guilty pleasure, that, like, should be red flags.
Like,
that should be a red flag.
Like, go up to someone you know and say, hey, what's your guilty pleasure? And then when they give you an answer, like, tell them, never do that again. Like,
and if they cling to it hard, that means that they are...
Tell them they're going to hell. They're a reprobate.
Say, you are a heretic. Spray holy water on them and run away.
Right. You have until you die to let that go. And if you don't,
just
too late.
The good thing is, Juan, this isn't on Catholic radio anymore. We're just on podcast, so...
So we can say anything.
We can say that.
It's totally fine, guys.
Yeah, we're good.
It's just a podcast.
All right, number, what are we on?
16.
Number 16. But, okay, hold on, time out. I think, and we've talked about this before, you can go back and look at movies. We've talked with Andrew Pudua. We've talked with Father Healy on
the integral good.
The integral good, yes, yeah. Thank you, Juan. And this is a hard topic.
Because there's a lot of good plays out there.
There are a lot of good plays.
That has just like one bad scene.
There's just a little poop in the brownies.
Right.
Are you going to eat them?
Right. And it depends. Like, did you blend the brownies?
Is it a crapshoot? Like, am I playing which piece?
Like, it's a crapshoot. I like what you did there.
Thank you.
But, like, if you blended the dog turd into all of the brownie batter and there's, like, poop evenly dispersed, or did you bake brownies and then, like, stick a dog turd in the middle? Well, I can eat the edges. That's fine. I'm just going to not eat that part right there.
This is an analogy. All analogies break down.
They all break down. Even the dog poop and the brownies analogy.
Because for that you have like something like a vidangel, right? That is like if it's just one scene, then that scene is no longer there.
Right.
But you're still supporting. I mean, you're still giving viewers and you're still promoting some sort of promotion to a movie.
Well,
even though you're not seeing that scene.
So here's the deal with vidangel. Like, if they remove the nude scene from the movie, they were doing that for a long time, and then they got sued by all of the movie producers because the movie producers argued and the courts agreed. They said, vidangel, you have made a new movie. You're selling a new product, and you don't have the right to do that with my movie. And the courts agreed, yep, you have made a new product. And I said, hallelujah! Now, if we watch a movie on VidAngel that has the nude scene taken out, we're not legally supporting this movie that has a nude scene in it. This is a new product. It's not the same product. That's what the courts decided. And like,
I don't buy that.
Well,
because you're still going to talk about that movie. And somebody maybe be like, oh, I'm going to go check it out. And they don't have VidAngel.
Well, just tell them. Just say, watch it on VidAngel like I do.
I don't know.
I mean, you don't have, doesn't have to be a mystery or a secret.
Well, this is the secret to sanctity.
Right, but we're blowing it wide open, bro.
Yeah. I hope that Francis isn't upset with us.
Do you think people would be holier if it was a competition? Like, if sanctity was a competition, do you think, like, people would be better at it?
I know that my boys would be.
There'd definitely be some people who are way better at
it. I know. My boys would absolutely would be.
Yeah.
I don't think Anna would.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so let's keep going. So we're almost done here. Number 16. If God has placed you in a position to give yourself to good works, let them be your pleasantest recreation.
It means most pleasant.
Most pleasant recreation. Remember that in helping the poor and the afflicted, you are helping Jesus Christ himself.
I remember that. Remember when he said that. Something like it anyway.
But this is interesting, right? Because how do you blend this into the difference between work and leisure?
Well, how do you do that? Oh, let it be your pleasantest recreation. It's like, well, the thing is,
it's pleasantest.
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 I was saying pleasantest.
Yeah, that's not the right word.
Yeah.
But it's like, if God's placed you in a position to give yourself of good works, let it be your pleasantest recreation. It's like, well, maybe it isn't. You know, like
it could be like at some point when you become that holy, it could be like the thing that gives you the most fulfillment in life.
Yeah.
I think like, you know, you look at Mother Teresa, right? Like the thing gave her the most fulfillment.
It's just that let it be your pleasantest recreation as if like that's what's going to help you grow in holiness. But you can't just decide, oh, I'm deciding that this thing that I'm doing is pleasant when it isn't, you know, like maybe you don't think it's pleasant. But I'm still going to do it cheerfully. But that doesn't mean it's pleasant.
Well, that's when you think that is you should be pleasant in your sufferings. Kind of like when you are getting into suffering, you're offering things up, but you're just suffering you're enjoying the suffering.
No, I think what he's trying to say is that you need to meditate on the good works that you're doing and how like there should be a joy. Because remember, you're serving Jesus Christ. And so, like, if you're serving Christ, I'm not serving, like, poor people or homeless people who smell bad or whatever it is that you're doing. I think what he's trying to say is, remember, you are helping Jesus Christ. You're doing it for him. And, like, there's a lot of joy in that. You know, like, wow, how incredible is it that I get to serve Christ here in this soup line or in whatever, you know, like, that is how you do it. You have to, like, meditate and constantly remember that that's what you're doing. Otherwise, it's like, it's just not pleasant to do the things that you're doing sometimes.
Right.
So you have to have that constant recollection and meditation.
I think that piggybacks off of one of the ones we talked about where you do everything in good nature. You go 100% in what you're supposed to be doing.
So this next one, 17, this is the one that I said, like, wow, I've never seen this before.
Okay.
What a crazy idea.
Go ahead, please.
So it says, select a day each month to prepare yourself for death. And on that day, perform each duty as faithfully as if it were to be the last day of your life. That'd be pretty crazy. It's a great idea. I was like, I've never heard, like, doing that. Every, you know, like... The seventh day of the month, every seventh day,
I'm preparing myself that this, like, is the last day.
Don't hang out with me on that day. It's because it will be weird. Everything I talk about is going to be like
everything that I do.
Look, I won't be fun. There'll be nothing like it'll be it, everything will be pretty heavy.
You can come over and flog me.
Right. Be like updating my will every month.
Okay.
The priest will be there giving me anointing of the sick. Mm-hmm. Because I think I'm going to die. really, it's a good suggestion. Like, just never thought about doing that.
I think that
it'd be a reality
check. I think it'd be very healthy to remember that, you know, here in 100 years, no one's going to remember you.
No.
You know, no one is going to remember what you've done.
I honestly, like, that does not, I do not care at all about being remembered. I know that my children will remember me, but I really don't care if they do. Like, I want them to be virtuous, you know, but they don't have to remember me to be virtuous. I just have no desire to be remembered. And I don't understand why people want to be remembered.
Well, for your children, it's like, I remember my dad because he showed me the love of a father.
I'm just saying that, like, hypothetically. Like, I just don't care if they remember me. I want my children to be healthy and, like, feel loved. And I want, you know what I mean? Like, I want them to be good children and good adults. But I don't have a desire at all.
Your children is a bad example.
It's just an extreme example. It is a bad example, but I'm using it because it's the extreme. Like, if there's anybody that you would want to remember you, it's going to be your kids. I just don't care about being remembered, and I don't understand why people want to be remembered. Like, so what? So, I mean, like, okay, you are, you know, like Gregory the Great. Somebody that people are going to talk about forever. So what? Like, he could be in hell.
No, Gregory the Great could not be.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Because he's a saint.
Pick somebody
else.
He's
a canonized saint.
Constantine, okay? Pick somebody else that everybody remembers. Like, he could be in hell. We don't know. But Gregory the Great is a saint.
Yeah, so that's another bad example.
That's a bad example. But anyway,
there's nothing
good in being remembered. Like, I want to go to heaven. Once I'm in heaven, I don't care if people talk about me. Like, I'm in heaven. You think I care what people are talking about on earth? You know, like, it's ridiculous.
Right. No, I agree with that. That is a good example.
That's what I was just trying to, like, use the extreme.
You should have started there, and then you could have, like,
if there's anything to be remembered, you would want it to be your love for God.
Right.
To be remembered.
Like, I want Christ to be remembered.
Well, your love for God as well, because that will serve as inspiration. Just like it will serve as inspiration for your children.
Sure.
You know, I remember the things my dad did because he loved God.
Yeah, people won't remember me. I mean, once my grandchildren die, no one will remember me.
But
totally fine.
This point has been, I can see this affecting my last, I don't know, year or so. Because there has been that example of saying, it's like, you know, when you die, do you wish you would have made, you know, you're going to wish you would have done more of this or less or that. And I found myself two or three times thinking, like, this is something that I wish when I'm in my deathbed, I'm not going to be like, I wish I had done this one thing, you know. And I've said, okay, I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I just stopped doing it because it's not going to matter in the long game.
Totally.
Totally. Okay, so the last one, and now keep in mind, this is in the first, I don't know, like within the first 8 pages of this book. Okay, so it continues to get better. I think that you guys should go check it out. But the last one that we're going to talk about tonight is faithful devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and His Blessed Mother is regarded as a certain means of salvation. Zealously embrace it. Nourish also in your soul sincere devotion to Saint Joseph, to the holy angels, and to the saints whose name you've received in baptism. Finally, pray frequently for the dying and for the for the souls in purgatory. This, to me, at the very end, is a great bookend because it gives you the understanding of that we are all the body of Christ. and that we need each other,
right?
And that, well, we need to pray for each other.
And he also just mentions like the most efficient roads of salvation, right,
right
there.
The most efficacious,
the shortest roads,
right? To Sacred Heart of Jesus, our Blessed Mother,
Saint Joseph,
Saint Joseph,
praying for the holy souls, or the holy souls in purgatory. That's like, if ever there is a hack, if ever there was a salvation hack, it's praying for them. Because, like, they can't pray for themselves. The only way they progress is, like, by our prayers. And so...
And time,
yeah. But our prayers are way better than continued suffering through time. So, if you...
Even though they're outside of time.
Not completely. They're outside
different aspects.
It's a different type of time.
Not linear.
I think it is probably still linear. Because there's a sense of journeying. What the church says is that even in heaven, there will be a sense of journeying. So it's like, it's progressive.
Further up and further in.
Yeah, and so that to me is linear. And maybe it's not linear like we think of linear. And maybe linear is not the best word to describe it. But it's a sense of journeying. So anyway, the point is, you pray for those holy souls in purgatory, and if...
Which, especially this month, in November.
In November, that's right. Because, and if your prayers are what get them out, you just got yourself a personalized saint. You know, like, you think personal assistants are cool?
Having one
in heaven is better.
One of the things that I really enjoy doing is a family tradition that we have is on All Souls Day. I take my family out and we pray the rosary at the a cemetery, and we start at just some random headstone, and each Hail Mary before we start, we say that person's name, and then we say that Hail Mary for them, and then we move to the next headstone.
Yeah, just like a rosary, kind of.
Yeah, just kind of like a rosary. And, like, you know, because we have a family, they each get a chance to say that person's name, and they lead that Hail Mary, and they keep going. That's something that we started, and your kids can really get into it. They can really, because they also, it's a great way of them understanding that there is death. It's a great way of familiarizing them with death.
Also, it's a good way to teach them how to be reverent in a cemetery. That's something kids don't know. Like,
that's true.
You have to teach them.
That's some things grown people.
But you have to
know.
Like, take them there and teach them, don't step on the gravestones. Mm-hmm. You know, like, don't pick the flowers that are there on other people's graves. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they have to know that.
Don't walk right in front of the headstone.
Right, exactly. Well, don't step on them anyway, you know, like.
How do you walk without stepping?
Don't step on the gravestone.
Well, you don't. You actually don't step in the grass right in front of the headstone.
Well, if you don't step there, you have nowhere to step. You
go around.
No, because sometimes, you know, they're in rows, and sometimes there's no place to walk but in front of the headstone. I mean, if you can't step there, you have to step over the headstone to step like in the grass beside them.
No, so
I'm not sure what you're saying. Maybe.
Yeah, because like, so you have a headstone. Let's talk about this off air, because this isn't something that we...
And, like, when I say headstone, I don't mean, like, the ones that stick up out of the ground. I'm talking about the ones that are, like, plates in the ground.
Okay.
You know, like, the...
We'll talk about
a proper headstone is expensive, and most people don't have them.
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about this more off air. But anyway, so I think it's a great tradition within the family to do something on All Souls Day for the Holy Souls of Purgatory. For your family members, for all of your family members through the lineage of your family, that you pray for them.
I offer up fasting on Fridays for the holy souls in conjunction with whatever else needs to be prayed for every Friday.
Per heck.
Yeah. Also, I was baptized on All Souls Day. That is my baptism day.
No kidding. I didn't know this.
November 2nd.
35 years. Didn't know this.
It's a pretty cool baptism day.
Very cool. What was your baptism name?
David.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Some people like
it's,
change it.
I think it's cool like that you do that. Like
confirmation names.
Yeah.
Change,
Michael. You know. That's my...
Paul.
That's a good one. Like to have give... there's a given name.
Just because I...
And then a Christian name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't get that until baptism. I think that's cool. Like, we should bring that back. Like, screw you, IRS. Like, nobody cares about like what's on the like the birth certificate. For the social security card. Get over it. He's not baptized yet. Get down with, like, with reality.
Oh. Yeah, the reality.
Yeah. Of baptism. Anyway.
I did want to share a quick story that got brought to me with about the cemeteries. Last year, we tried to do that with our family. And as we started, we got in a row and we started praying the Hail Marys. And my wife and I closed our eyes. And John Paul II, so it was like a kid's grave. And they often have toys.
Yeah.
And there's this little windmill.
There's a lot of windmills. Yeah.
A wind spinny, yeah. So, yeah, that's what they go by in Venezuela, spinny. Anyway, John Paul is just like running up and down with his wind spinny. And we just did not see him because we had our eyes closed in prayer. We open our eyes and we're like, where's John Paul? And he's just going on laps around. And that's when we realized we didn't explain this very well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't know. You have to teach them.
Yeah.
There's etiquette that needs
to be
learned.
And, like, don't run in a cemetery. Yeah. Let me just end with my cemetery story because it's so good. So
I'll be the judge.
So, sadly, when I was, like, four, my parents had a stillborn child named Gabriel. And so we were having a funeral for him at the cemetery. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because I was like, yeah, at the funeral place, at the cemetery. And I was also running up and down. You know, like, my parents were busy grieving, you know, like, everybody's there.
You were a very rambunctious kid.
I was also very rambunctious. Somebody else was probably supposed to be watching me. So I remember, like, running around, you know, not really, I didn't grasp what we were there. Like, really,
sure.
I knew what had happened, but I just remember running over this tarp and falling. And what I had done was I had run and fallen into my brother's grave that he was not in yet. We were there to bury him, and I fell in the hole that they had dug in which to bury my little brother. And so my dad had to kneel down and pull me out of my brother Gabriel's grave.
Oh, there's so many emotions.
I feel like there's a lot of emotions. There's also probably a lot of symbolism here. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, that has got to be an omen, right? If there ever was an omen, falling into your brother's grave.
Oh, man. Like, if I was your dad, I don't know. Like, man, I don't know how I would react. Because a grieving person is not in their, you know, right state of mind.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember getting in trouble for it. I think it was like they were just preoccupied just and they're like, just pull them out.
Yeah, just
keep
them out.
Yeah. Like, I have other things that I really don't care right now. So anyway, it is a pretty good story, though. I mean, like, as stories go, that's a pretty crazy story.
All right. Next week, we're going to talk about how Dave lost his door to his room because he slammed it.
Also true.
We'll end there.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.